What's up, Fanatics? It's time for another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. It's the seniors. I'm Jared Stansberry, joined by my friend Rob Gray. What's up, Rob?
Not much. How you doing, Jared? We're doing this on a Wednesday.
Yeah, definitely. And we have a new sponsor.
It's fantastic.
The seniors are no longer renegade.
That's right. Well, we're still sort of renegade in the terms of seat of our pants, but we're a little bit more, we're definitely more legit.
Yeah, definitely.
With these folks on board.
The seniors are now presented by Performance Concrete Polishing. Performance Concrete Polishing, they make boring and ugly concrete surfaces attractive. Any residential, commercial, or manufacturing floor can look spectacular, even exterior surfaces. They offer many alternative state-of-the-art services to accomplish this goal. These floors are colorful, shiny, durable, and easy to clean. If you can dream it, then they can create it. You can visit them at 11220 Aurora Ave in Urbandale, or you can give them a call at 515-202-6706. That's Performance Concrete Polishing. Find them at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com. They provide free quotes, so if you're looking to get anything done in your house, Rob.
I'll tell you what, we had some barn swallows nest on our rock or our stone at our entry under a little ring, and they can produce a lot of stuff that ended up on the concrete below. Would be definitely interested in checking that out. And many thanks to them for joining us as a sponsor. That's fantastic.
Yeah, most definitely. So make sure and check out Performance Concrete Polishing, www.performanceconcretepolishing.com, 515-202-6706 down there in Ankeny. Like you said, the Iowa State Cyclones tonight taking on the Texas Tech Red Raiders down in Lubbock. Last season's trip to Lubbock didn't end very well for the Cyclones.
No, and it particularly didn't start very well.
No.
Gotcher from deep. Sluggish start, crawled back into it. I think they were down three a couple times late. Monte Morris got a look at one. Couldn't get it to fall, and they lost by five there. And we were talking about Tech earlier in the season, I remember, and I still think they're the same team that we thought could be a fifth or sixth team in the Big 12 in terms of the pecking order. Mm-hmm. But they've lost three by 4-3-2. I mean, if you reverse even one of those, they're still in the neighborhood because they've faced some, you know, everyone's faced tough teams, but they've gotten a number of them out of the way. So very dangerous team.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I jumped the gun saying that I thought they could be a bubble team.
I kind of agreed with you, though. and I mean, even at KenPom, they're still top 60. Despite being 13-9 and 3-7 in the league, so they've got some pieces for sure.
See, the thing you talk about Todrick Gotcher, but then you look back at the stats and it's actually that Devontae Williams that's the one that had the big game, 22 points.
Yeah, he did.
9 of 11 from the free throw line.
Yeah, Gotcher had 5 threes, and that was what. And he is now known for sure. I think he's shooting 39% this year from deep. They're a very balanced team. I think this year Williams is leading them at about 12 a game.
Yeah.
You throw in that Zach Smith dude at the block and a half per game. And, you know, they're kind of a sneaky, talented team that hasn't quite figured it out yet.
Was this the last Jameel McKay off-the-bench game?
That's a good question. I can't remember if this was the last one off the bench.
Well, Iowa State also shot 19% from three. 6 of 31.
Yeah.
Clayton Custer had 5 minutes with one assist and one foul.
It seems like 5 years ago that Clayton Custer was on the team. God bless him. But, wow. Yeah, one of those games that obviously was very damaging for the Big 12 regular season helps. And conversely, this year, if they can go and get this one, particularly when you look at the other three road games they're going to be facing with Baylor, Kansas, and West Virginia, got to get this one to at least be in the contention and stay up there and, you know, in hopes of, I don't know, a three seed. Who knows how you finish if you can actually steal another one of those road games and win at home after dropping a couple and have a good Big 12 tournament run. Could rise as high as two. So very pivotal game, very, very tough game, I think, for the Cyclones, who will be without Jameel McKay for the second game of his indefinite suspension.
Matt Thomas. Sorry.
I was just going to say, which sounds more definite now.
Oh, yeah.
As in probably being back Saturday.
I want to – okay, this is the first thing I'm going to add, but then the other thing, I want to say something about Jameel. And First of all, Naz and Matt combined to go 3 of 15 from 3 in that game a year ago. If that tells you anything you need to know about the kind of game that was.
Yeah, just, yeah.
Okay, but then what I was going to say about Jameel, what am I crazy for thinking that he would have only been suspended for one game if he wouldn't have come out on Twitter and acting the way he did after the suspension was announced?
I think you're on to something, for sure, with that.
By him almost going against the indefinitely thing, cost him another game?
I think if you're Steve Prohm and you have clearly made it a point to kind of check, you know, tell Jameel to check himself a little bit. And he comes out on Twitter.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
And puts one game on Twitter. You know, I think that's his first tweet since the whole thing rolls out. It could be wrong, but one of the first. That's like usurping. It's like saying, okay, yeah, he suspended me, but it's only going to be one game.
Right.
You're like, he's totally in control in that. Whereas Prohm needs to establish, which he talked about post-game, and we all saw those quotes and reiterated a little bit on Monday, that he's building a program. He's not just looking at this team as much as he wants it, and it is all about these seniors, including McKay. He's got to set a standard. He's got to have people adhere to that standard.
And I think that might be the most impressive thing Steve Prohm's done since he's been here.
I agree.
Those comments were, that was far and away the most impressive thing I've seen from him say.
No, I think so, too. And I was impressed that he, you know, when things were going south, dropping three of the first four in the Big 12, you know, he basically gathered the guys and says, okay, for lack of a better term, play time is over. You know, I'm going to add some structure to this, and this is how I want it structured. You're still going to have a lot of freedom, but it's not going to be free reign, carte blanche kind of stuff.
Right.
I was impressed by that, but I was also very impressed by what he said there. I mean, it was necessary for him to, and look, we don't know what it was. It could have been just not putting forth as much effort as they want in practice, or getting upset about something repeatedly, and then it's just like, come on, a buck up kind of situation. Clearly, I don't think it was a serious issue. We know it's not a legal thing and all that. Just a matter of, to steal from not only Iowa State's football program of the past, but many others, you got to show that you're all in at every moment, every second of practice, every time you come in, every game, obviously. And see guys waver a little bit on that and, get them back on board. So very impressive and very forceful and thoughtful, I think, the way he expressed how he was going about that with Jameel.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I think everybody is getting so kind of, they're getting so wrapped up in this team, and everybody's been so wrapped up in it for so long here the last several months, that we do forget about the fact that Steve Prohm's got another team that he's got to think about a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now. And there are those guys that are, those recruits that are out there watching how the way Jameel would act on the floor and the way you'd hear about things that he was doing. He had to set a standard that is not okay. Because it's not okay. It's not okay for anyone to act that way.
Yep.
And there's no reason that Jameel should think that he's above that. And I think that now, hopefully Jameel realizes that Iowa State needs, or Jameel needs Iowa State just as much as Iowa State needs Jameel, if not more.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I think so. And it's a great point about looking forward, which he alluded to or mentioned in his comments. But what about, say you want to go and get a graduate transfer?
Yeah.
He knows what the culture is like. He knows whether certain guys are going to get to slide on certain things.
Yep.
Or whether there are going to be uniform rules and regulations that everyone is expected to abide by. And just speculating, but I presume that Jameel kind of pushed the envelope a little bit that way. You know, and none of us are saying he's a bad guy. I mean, gosh, last season he rallied the team. It was really impressive the way that he rallied the team. And I think he cares. I just think sometimes he can be a little bit emotionally overwrought, maybe is the term. You know, he can get inside his own head a little bit too much. But, as Prohm said, he loves Jameel. They're going to max out. He's got to be a part of it. So I expect that to, hopefully that just makes him stronger, this bit of adversity.
I want to present another thing. How much do you think the problems that Jameel has had could be placed on Fred?
It's a good question.
And considering some of the things that we've heard about Fred now that he's gone to Chicago, the things Jimmy Butler said about him needing to be tougher, mm-hmm. holding people accountable, mm-hmm. Making people be leaders, you know?
Yeah.
It makes you wonder about some of the stuff that might have, or maybe the way the culture was compared to the way it is now with Coach Prohm.
Yeah, and I think he had some natural leaders, which really helped sort that out. I mean, mm-hmm. when he had Kane and Edgem, I mean, those guys, you try to slide with those guys around, and you're not going to do it a second time.
Right.
Particularly Kane. I mean, we all know what he meant to toughening up Monte Morris and helping him become a better player with some tough, sharp-elbowed love at times. I think Fred always said, and I think you could quote Larry Brown when he said it, that he doesn't want to ever have to coach effort.
Yeah.
That should be a given. I think he took that philosophy into the way he dealt with his players. You know, a lot of freedom because he believed that they would always put forth effort. Now, I think last season you saw a guy or two mm-hmm. that maybe just a guy, but didn't always consistently show that. It probably could have used a coach that needs to pull the effort out. And I'd imagine that made Fred want to pull his hair out because ultimately he wanted to bring guys on board where that wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah.
And I don't think with Jameel Effort's the problem. I think, and again, I mean, what is he, 12 plus points, 9 rebounds, by far the best rebounder on the team. So he's having a good season. Mm-hmm. Just a matter of consistency. And I think if something goes wrong, I don't know if it's when free throws go wrong or something happens, he's not getting certain numbers. It bothers him to the extent that it hinders his performance, either in that game or the next game or something like that. And as long as he gets that right. I mean, it's interesting that you bring that up with Fred. I would say that's still on the guys, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's all on Fred.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, could there be some kind of piece put on Fred?
And I would...
And you also have to think about the fact that Jameel's had now his junior college coach, mm-hmm. his Buzz Williams at Marquette,
yep.
Fred, and Steve Prohm in the last 3 years.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, I'm sure there's a comfort level there, too. We forget that it's tough on these guys.
I know
how much they loved Fred. Bringing a new guy, and it's obviously was very tough on Prohm. We've talked on our podcast, and I know the other guys have on the Fallcast and other things, and Chris on KXNO Sports Fanatics, just about what a difficult position. You know, everyone looks at it as, oh, my gosh, you've got a pre-assembled Final Four caliber team.
Right.
Well, that's true. You also have the pre-assembled Final Four expectations, which are through the roof, and you have a fan base that is rabid in good ways and in not-so-good ways, meaning the sky is falling stuff that happens if things mm-hmm. go south at all. Coupled with the tremendous support that happens every game at Hilton and in the sports bars and everything else surrounding. So that's all an interesting dynamic, and I guess players just got to play.
Yep.
And keep it all together. But
I think they got to play.
Yeah. But I think most have done a pretty impressive job of adjusting.
Yeah, I agree.
And the amount of adversity this team has faced, excuse me, is pretty darn significant when you lose your best shot maker and
right.
a Nazmat Trulong. And thank heavens that Matt Thomas has emerged as a rising star, mm-hmm. to help with that. And Abdel Nader at times helps pull him along, too.
All right, give me a prediction.
For the game, I think they're probably going to score in the low 70s. And I really consider the game an absolute toss-up.
Okay.
Absolute toss-up. But I think I have a feeling that this time around, somebody, whether it be Monte, whether it be Matt, hits a shot late that puts the Cyclones over the top for a 1 or 2 point win, probably.
Okay.
What do you think?
I think they're going to win by 10.
Okay.
Are you ready for our trivia?
Yeah, let's give it a shot.
All right. Today, we're doing the top 10 records for men's basketball teams by decade, going back to 1930. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah.
All right, we've got 10 minutes.
All right. 30s Celtics?
Well, this is the NCAA.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Good Lord. Why was it in the 30s?
Well, we don't have to go in order. I mean, you can just... I assume if I type in... All right, you've got Kentucky, so you've got 8 of them already. So.
Yeah, yeah. How about Kansas?
Yep, there's 12.
UCLA?
Yep. That's 15.
Seems similar to... I'm trying to think of... Michigan State would have to have a couple.
No.
No.
Wait. This says I spelled Michigan wrong. How do you spell Michigan?
M-I-C-H-I-G-A-N.
Yeah, okay. Michigan State's not on there.
You're exhausted from the campaign trail.
Yeah, something like that. Excuse me. I don't know how they're not on there.
Hmm. Well, they usually lose some games in the midst of all their runs, so maybe that's...
You've also got to think mid-major. Like, this is everybody.
Oh, gosh,
so,
yes.
Like, yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, I just typed in Gonzaga, and there's two, and they were two of them.
Hmm. Okay. I'm kind of tunnel visioning this a little bit. I'm trying to think back to some of those years. How about Cincinnati?
Yep, 1960s. When yeah, they would have been really good. Won a couple national titles.
Mm. Duke.
Yep, there's a bunch of those. They were number one in 2000. All right, I'll tell you where you've got the number ones. You've got number one in the 40. In 40, that was Kentucky. 50s was Kentucky. 60s and 70s, both UCLA. 90s was Kansas. 2000 was Duke. And 2010 was Kansas. Like, 2010s was Kansas.
Okay. So the 80s.
Yeah, you don't know. Yeah, you don't have anybody for the 80s. You don't have anybody for the 30s
yet. What
about
Georgetown?
Yep, that was actually number three.
North Carolina?
There's your number. There's your 80s. That's okay. Number one for the 80s.
God, think of some of these mid-majors, though. I'd love to pull one of those out.
I typed in Syracuse, and it was on a couple of them.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
The 80s, the 2010s, the 70s, and the 30s. I didn't know that Syracuse was good in the 30s.
What about Marquette? Yeah.
Yep, 1970s. They were number two.
Good old Al McGuire. Nova?
Nope.
UConn?
1990s and the 2000s.
Let's see. Why am I? Who am I?
I typed in Florida. They were in the 2000s.
Mm, yep. NC State?
I typed in NC in the, oh, yep, the 50s.
My heyday. gosh, some of the mid-majors just have to be.
See, even
what
some
about,
of the.
What about UTEP?
Actually, yes. The 80s.
Yes. Yes. Don Haskins.
I was going to say Don Haskins.
Think about some of these other. Houston.
Nope.
Virginia.
I tried that one.
Okay.
I was thinking, yeah, I was thinking Ralph Sampson and some of the ones that tripped us up last time.
Yeah, yeah. Xavier. I like to say Xavier.
No.
No. Shot in the dark. They seem to always be pretty good, dating back decades, though.
I have no idea.
It's not really good like they are this season.
I have no idea who some of these teams could be. I typed in Butler. It wasn't even one. And, I mean, they win all their games, so.
Arkansas?
Yep, the 90s.
Arizona.
That's actually the one I was just thinking of. Okay. They were actually in the 90s as well. You have two left in the 90s.
Indiana?
70s.
who left in the 90s?
You're at 40 out of 90, so. With 5 minutes left. So you're almost right on pace.
Yeah, yeah. But I got all the easy ones out of the way. Oklahoma.
Oklahoma State was also one in a couple.
Yep. K-State?
Yep. 50s.
Again, my heyday. Illinois?
Yep.
80s?
No, the 2000s.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
The Bruce Weber squad.
Wonder if you go way back, like the way back machine, if let's say like a Minnesota's in there.
Nope.
Yeah. Ohio State.
Yep. They had the 60s and the 2010s to 13.
Aaron Kraft.
Yeah.
That play.
No, Iowa State.
The Cyclones. And watching that still is unbelievable how it went that way.
Texas was in the 2000s.
Okay, how about Georgia Tech?
Nope.
Dang. I thought some of those Kremen's teams were really good. Am I missing some real heavy hitters?
No, I don't really think you are. That's the thing.
I mean, that's why I'm running down the list. How about LSU? I think they always lost some games, even with Shaq.
Yeah, they're not in there. I was trying to think, like, the Big East.
Yeah.
All right, I typed in Louisville.
Did we try Villanova?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. Providence?
Providence was in the 60s.
Okay. Seton Hall?
Nope.
St. Joseph's.
Actually, yes.
Yes.
The 60s. Yes. St. John's was actually in the 80s
as
well.
Oh, yes. Yes, some great St. John's. He's Maryland.
Nope.
Hmm.
What about
one of those biased teams?
UNLV.
Oh, yeah.
They were number two in the 80s. Oh, all right. Yeah. We've got 2 minutes left. You've got one, two, three, four. You got six in the 30s, eight in the 40s. Come on. You don't know anything about the 40s?
It's bad work out of me.
Five in the 50s. Three in the 60s, three in the 70s. I typed them in.
Okay.
Two in the 80s, two in the 90s, two in the 2000s, and two in the 2010 to 13. We need to figure out these 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. Did Gonzaga, as you said. Why? Oh.
Yeah, I can't even think.
No, I mean, I feel like I've sort of emptied the brain a little bit here.
New Mexico. They made it into 2010 to
13. Oh, my gosh. I'm thinking of some other team down there. I can't imagine. It's like in Alabama, Tennessee.
Yep. I don't know where. Oh, in the 40s.
Wichita State?
Tried them.
Okay. Creighton?
Nope.
DePaul?
Yep. 80s. You need one more in the 80s.
Oh, so close. And that's when I was like...
You told me, you're like, if you get me some 80s ones, I'll know them all.
Yep. Well, I was fairly confident. Know them all. Now that I'm missing one, it seems...
They're going to say it, like, you've got a minute left.
They're going to be... yelling at us. I don't know. Think about some of those teams. USC ever make it in there?
No. 40 seconds. Can't even think of other teams that were good.
No, I feel like I'm...
Murray State made the 2010s.
Oh, wow. Yes. Some of those other.
I was thinking of VCU, maybe. they weren't on there, though. All right, we're just going to give up. 15 seconds left.
Yep.
All right. LIU Brooklyn was the number one team
Long
from
Island
the 30s.
University of Brooklyn, yes.
Yeah.
Why Long Island is it Brooklyn? I don't know.
Other teams in the 30s, Purdue, Western Kentucky, Rhode Island, Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, yeah.
And CCNY. I don't know what that even means.
City College of New York, I think.
Okay.
Might be.
In the 40s, Rhode Island again, Eastern Kentucky, Western Kentucky, Long Island, Brooklyn, Bowling Green.
Bowling Green.
Notre Dame, and the Toledo Rockets.
Toledo?
Yeah.
Hmm. So why didn't we start thinking Mac? I mean, what?
Mac and basketball isn't usually something I...
Western Kentucky, Eastern Kentucky?
In the 50s, there was Seattle, LaSalle, Dayton, Holy Cross, and
Dayton
West Virginia.
Dayton was a good mid-major to think of, yeah.
West Virginia. In the 60s, Dayton, Bradley, and Princeton were the three you didn't get. In the 70s, it was Penn, Long Beach State, and Florida State. The 80s, I actually thought of this one, but I don't remember why I didn't type it out. It was Temple. That was the only one we didn't have. John Chaney and co.
The always effervescent John Chaney.
Yeah. The 90s would have been Utah with Rick Majerus.
Yep.
And Princeton.
Another Princeton renaissance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 2000s, Utah State and Pittsburgh. The only two we didn't have there.
Pittsburgh had some good ones.
And 2010, St. Mary's and BYU.
I thought about bringing up BYU, and I was thinking sort of the St. Mary's. They had some epics out there in the Big West. I think we did okay.
I mean, here, let me look. Yeah. Well, we were above average. Right at about average.
Well.
65% is what we got. 68 is the average.
Well.
I'd say if we would have gotten Notre Dame, probably would have put us over the hump.
Yep, absolutely.
I can't believe we didn't think of Notre Dame.
I feel bad about that. I don't feel as bad as I do about forgetting about George Lynch.
Fair enough. All right, you got anything else to add?
Not really. Just obviously, huge game Wednesday, and then Texas comes on Saturday.
Thursday night.
Oh, yeah, we've got
the Cyclone
huge.
Tomorrow night.
Huge event.
Cyclone
night.
Fanatic recruiting party at Thunderhead Bar and Grill here in beautiful Ankeny, Iowa. I'll be there. Rob Gray will be there. I'm sure some guy named Chris Williams will probably be there.
Yep. Adam Gray.
The other Gray. He's not that important. Yeah. But he'll be there too, and as well as some special guests.
I'm really excited about those special guests.
Yeah, I think everybody's going to be excited to meet these guys.
Yeah.
They're pretty cool dudes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's tomorrow night, Thursday night, here in Ankeny at Thunderhead Bar and Grill. The Cyclone Fanatic radio show will be pre-recorded.
Yes.
So we'll be on that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But the party gets started at 6 o'clock. Come on out. Have some Busch Lights. Have some gross scotch with Rob. It'll all be fun. You got anything else to add after that, though?
No. We'll have fun. Maybe I can convince you to do a scotch with a Busch Light chaser.
Nope. Not going to happen.
All right.
Thanks again to Performance Concrete Polishing, our brand new sponsor. Give them a visit at 11220 Aurora Ave in Urbandale. Give them a call at 515-202-6706 or look them up on the web at www.performanceconcretepolishing.com. I'm Jared Stansberry for Rob Gray. Thanks for listening.